From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, September 30th. Bangor schools will be the first in New England to begin using an emergency alert system to notify school administrators and first responders of acts of violence or medical emergencies. At a school committee meeting earlier this week, Superintendent James Tager described plans to begin using the Centegix crisis alert system, in which school staff members will be equipped with badges about the size of a driver's license. The badges will have a button that can be used to alert emergency responders of a serious incident and also trigger a lockdown announcement on school grounds. Ray Finney is the district's safety and communications director.
As the world has changed and there have been more instances with school violence, we wanted to make sure that we were offering something that would reduce the amount of time that it took to contact local emergency responders.
Tager says the Bangor Police Department has assured him that officers could respond to an incident within 1.5 to 3 minutes of receiving an alert. The new system should be in place by January. Maine Housing will no longer accept new applications for the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, at least for the time being. As Nicole Legrisco reports, demand for help has gone up as the program has nearly exhausted all available funding.
Maine Housing officials say the pause will give them time to process a backlog of 11,000 pending applications while they await word on their request for more federal funding. Spokesman Scott Thistle says despite efforts to curb the outflow of funds, the pace at which Maine Housing was spending for the program had recently accelerated, in some cases by as much as $2 million more a week. Thistle says applications for assistance have increased as the cost of rents and hotel rates have also gone up.
The GSA rate in the summertime for Maine is a higher rate than what it would be typically. You know, they go up in the summer because of tourism, and so efforts that we made to kind of slow down the spending rate on the program didn't work the way we intended.
Maine Housing says it asked the federal government back in July for more funding for the program, but hasn't heard back. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Legrisco.
Maine Independent Senator Angus King is endorsing Janet Mills in her re-election campaign against former Republican Governor Paul LePage and Independent Sam Hunkler. At a press conference on Friday, King commended Mills for her handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. He said deciding to close businesses and restrict gatherings were tough decisions politically.
But these decisions literally saved lives, and the governor never quit. She didn't back down. She didn't get intimidated. And I'm sure there were moments when you wished you didn't have to make some of those decisions. But she listened to the science, and that really made a difference.
King also touted Mills' ability to listen to members of both parties, such as when she used much of this year's budget surplus on $850 inflation relief payments to residents. Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins already endorsed LePage as part of a rally announcing his run for governor last year. It's now time for Maine's Political Pulse, our weekly roundup and analysis of government and politics. This week's Pulse conversation features Maine Calling host Jennifer Rooks, along with Maine Public Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler and State House Correspondent Kevin Miller.
Steve, let's get started. With less than 40 days until the election, we are seeing three new polls. What do they tell us about the governor's race?
Well, each of those polls, Jen, show Democratic Governor Janet Mills with a double-digit lead over former Republican Governor Paul LePage. Sam Hunkler, who's the independent in the race, is running behind and pulling in about 1% in the surveys that we've seen. The thing that jumps out to me is that there is a significant gender gap, particularly in that UNH survey that came out this week. In two of the polls, men were more likely to favor LePage, while Mills had much stronger support among women. And that gender gap was massive in the UNH survey, in which 62% of women backed Mills versus just 27% supporting LePage. And Jen, I think those surveys, while they should be viewed very cautiously, explain a few things about how Mills and LePage are running their campaigns. LePage, for example, is doing a lot of controlled press events, which is to say that they're organized around a specific topic like crime or the opioid crisis or parent involvement in public schools. The fact that he's engaging with us so frequently tells me that his path to victory lies somewhere in that mysterious, unpredictable, whimsical Maine's independent electorate. And those folks decide a lot of elections in this state.
Well, Kevin, Steve is mentioning the independent voter in Maine. At this point in the campaign, how many voters are really undecided?
Well, not too many, if you believe the polls. The Emerson College survey had just 4% undecided, you know, while the poll from UNH put those undecideds at about 5%. You know, and frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if that pocket of undecided or uncommitted voters is that small, because these are candidates who elicit very passionate feelings on both sides. Many Republicans still love former Governor LePage, but he's really, really strongly disliked by folks on the Democratic side, and vice versa with Governor Mills. So I think that's why this race is likely to come down to independents, and both of them are very well known to Maine voters at this point.
Steve, in the race for the governor, are there certain issues or themes that are emerging?
Yeah, I think for LePage and the Republicans writ large, the big issues are the economy, inflation, fuel prices, and so forth. I mean, a year ago, those pocketbook issues were really seen as the key to a GOP wave election. But there have been some really big changes since then, namely the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, which effectively put the issue of abortion access in the hands of governors and state legislators. It's also closed what had been a pretty big enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats. And that's why Democrats, including Mills, are talking about it constantly. The GOP, meanwhile, is trying to retain the momentum by tapping other issues, primarily public education. This was a trend that began last year as Republicans sought to tap parent frustration over pandemic school closures and restrictions. And since then, it's broadened to channel conservative anger over the teaching of race and LGBTQ issues, book bans, and so on. And there's other issues too, including crime, which LePage attempted to highlight this week during a press conference in Portland.
Kevin, last weekend, the New York Times reported a story that Governor Page had accepted homestead tax breaks in both Maine and Florida. How much damage did that story cause his campaign?
It's tough to say precisely how damaging it was, but it certainly couldn't have helped. While Governor LePage disputed some of the timeline of the original story, the fact is that he changed his residency from Maine to Florida within days of leaving office in 2019. I think it's important to note here that no one is accusing Governor LePage of doing anything illegal here. It's more an ethical issue. The houses are in his wife's name. She was a Florida resident throughout that time. And unlike back in 2010, when this also came up, they didn't own a house in Maine anymore, so they weren't receiving these homestead tax breaks in both states. But the incident has given Democrats another opportunity to question LePage's loyalty to the state and to resurrect this name for him, which they keep calling him the Florida man. You know, and I think that could resonate with people who are still on the fence about the former governor.
Meantime, Steve, Governor Mills kind of seems to be laying low. She doesn't seem to be campaigning with gusto. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I think your observation is relatively correct, Jen. I mean, the governor is definitely campaigning. She's showing up for fairs, parades, and other events. But in terms of engaging with the press on the issues of the day, that's just not happening, at least not to the extent that it has been with LePage. Now, there's probably a good reason for that. If she's truly ahead in the polls, it's usually advisable to limit your exposure to things that can jeopardize that position. Again, LePage might not have a choice if he's behind. So he's running risky, possibly out of necessity, while Mills is running cautiously, probably because she can, at least for now. She also has the benefit of incumbency, which allows her to use official acts as governor to generate press attention in a way that LePage simply can't right now because he's out of office.
Tuesday evening, the three of us will be in Lewiston. Maine Public, the Portland Press Herald, and the Lewiston Sun Journal are together holding a debate between the candidates for governor. Kevin Miller, what are you looking for in this debate?
Well, this will be the first debate in the governor's race. And although Governor Mills and former Governor LePage have essentially been debating each other in the media for many years now, since they often clashed when he was governor and when she was attorney general, this will be the first time that they actually share a stage together as campaign opponents. I fully expect Governor LePage to be on the offensive, and I expect Governor Mills to stick to this theme that she's been emphasizing throughout her campaign, which is we won't go back, as she portrays Governor LePage's two terms as chaotic and unhealthy for Maine. One thing I suspect a lot of people will be watching out for, and I know I will, is how Governor LePage kind of comports himself. His campaign has really tried hard to rebrand him as a softer, gentler LePage this time around. So I think he'll have to figure out a way to kind of thread that needle very carefully as he goes after Mills.
Yeah, I think what Kevin said is correct, Jen. And I think there's some question about what does Mills want to do with a second term if she's able to secure one. I know that the overarching theme of her campaign right now is we can't go back. But I wonder what she wants to talk about going forward. I think a lot of voters are interested in that. And I think the same question applies to Governor LePage. I mean, Governor LePage, while his campaign has sort of framed him as a different version of himself, and maybe, you know, somebody who's less bombastic, but he's also talking about a lot of issues that he talked about during his two previous terms. What does he want to do with another term, a third non-consecutive term, which is unprecedented in this state?
That was Maine Calling host Jennifer Rooks, along with Maine Public Chief political correspondent Steve Missler and State House correspondent Kevin Miller. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow morning for Weekend Edition starting at 8 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet.